Hello and welcome back to the Future of Work podcast. I'm Sophie Fisher. There's a lot of discussion about the potential of the circular economy, what it might do to improve the environment, reduce the use of natural resources, and hopefully provide a growing number of decent jobs. One emerging aspect of the circular economy is industrial symbiosis. Symbiosis is a term that's more commonly applied to two living things coexisting in ways that benefit, harm, or indeed have no effect on each other. But as the circular economy grows, it's also being applied to man-made economic processes. So, what is the potential of industrial symbiosis, and what effect might it have on the world of work? Well, luckily, I have with me today somebody who can answer these questions, and that is Sabrina Dugobi. She is a senior economist at the ILO, and she is also the editor and contributor to a new book on industrial symbiosis. Sabrina, welcome. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me here, Sophie.
Let me start. I gave just a little thumbnail explanation of what industrial symbiosis might be, but you're the expert. Why don't you give us a definition and perhaps an example?
Yes, sure. Actually, you gave a very nice introduction referring to a natural ecosystem and the way organisms interact in a natural ecosystem. With industrial symbiosis, it's similar. Essentially, enterprises are meant to behave as organisms in an ecosystem, so with interactions that are mutually beneficial for enterprises involved. So in an industrial symbiosis network, you have a minimum of two companies interacting or exchanging goods, I would say waste and byproducts in the definition that I use. The definition that I use is a simple one, and it is the waste and byproducts of one company become inputs for the production of another company. So essentially, you have recycling of materials from a company to another company.
Right. And can you think of a specific industry or a specific example?
Yeah, I can give you an example that I often cite from Colombia. It's easy, straightforward. Essentially, here there are three companies. Two are flour exporting companies, and the third one is a plastics manufacturer. So the two flour exporting companies give the plastics manufacturer dismissed plastics boards from their greenhouses, and the plastics manufacturer returns brand new made plastic boards to one company, and it pays the corresponding price to the other company. So in this case, you have benefits because for the two agriculture companies, waste, meaning the dismissed plastic boards, would be a cost because they would have to get rid of those. Also, it's a matter of having space to store those boards. So their benefit is that they're getting rid of it, and plus they're getting something back, either brand new plastic boards or the price, so money, okay? And for the plastics manufacturer, of course, it's good because when it pays for the price, it's cheaper inputs because the price that it pays is lower than for raw materials. And then it anyway works or reworks boards, giving them back to the other agriculture company as brand new products.
So the benefits are economic in the sense that they can reuse materials, and also environmental.
They are economic and they are environmental because, again, the waste that should have been disposed of is in fact reused, and you extend the life cycle of products. And in fact, industrial symbiosis enhances productivity in terms of resource productivity, because the same inputs are used and reused and recycled, so they have a longer life, and they don't stop right there at the end of one production chain.
Right, and now you did quite detailed studies in both Africa and Latin America, and did you see these processes mostly being applied to SMEs or to larger companies?
Normally, Industrial symbiosis networks are initiated by a large company, okay, that we call an anchor company, that involves in the network smaller companies, up to micro businesses, along its value chain. So it starts from a large company, but it involves many smaller companies.
Right, so it can also benefit SMEs.
Yes, absolutely.
But some of these processes that are required to convert the waste into reusable resources, are those not quite expensive? I mean, I'm thinking, for example, of things like paper pulp and stuff like that.
It depends, because if you consider, for example, compost, well, that doesn't entail much except work to carry manure and work manure, but I mean, you don't need much in terms of equipment. And so in agriculture, in fact, the applications tend to be cheaper or less expensive and not entailing expensive equipment. Whereas if you talk about industry and manufacturing sector, well, there, yes, you can have quite expensive equipment, in particular when you need to treat waste or byproducts to be able to rework them.
Right. Now, what do you think the impact is on jobs, and in particular job quality? Because quantity is not the only argument here.
No, quantity is for sure. Definitely, industrial symbiosis creates jobs, direct jobs, with a median of about 1% increase for large companies, 30% for smaller companies. So a bigger impact for smaller companies in terms of quality. If you consider value chain, it's a minimum employment growth of 20%. In our case studies, it can go as high as 50%.
That's okay. Pretty impressive.
It is really, really on a value chain level, it is an impressive job increase. The quality, yes, is an issue, because if jobs are created in large companies, well, those are decent jobs, formal, everything okay, with even decent unionization rates. For example, in Tanzania, we have 70-80% unionization rates in the companies surveyed and involved in industrial symbiosis. But the problem is with smaller companies, where there's quite a good share of informal employment or temporary jobs. Because it's often seasonal, so that's not good. And also another aspect to take into account is that the good jobs, the decent jobs, the formal ones, are normally occupied by men, and because the prevailing sectors where large companies operate is industrial sectors that are male dominated, whereas the informal jobs in smaller companies tend to be occupied mainly by women, and that's a problem.
So something needs to be done there, both in terms of improving the working conditions and I suppose through that formalization, and also on aspects of gender. I mean, is that a policy issue, or how do we get around that?
Yes, certainly governments can do something about it. For example, they can adopt active labor market policies targeting women in specific sectors where their participation is low. Then employers and workers also can do something, that they can promote and support the recruitment of women in decent formal jobs stemming from industrial symbiosis. One good thing that we saw in our studies, in our country studies, is that through industrial symbiosis, often micro businesses are set up and formalized, which is a good way to formalized jobs, also those occupied by women. For example, you can have waste pickers grouped together in a micro business, which can take the form of a cooperative and have a formal status.
And why is there that trend towards formalization in this? Is that because they're entering the supply chains of larger and formal companies, and therefore they have to do this?
That's correct, Sophie. That's exactly why it happens, because large companies cannot or do not intend to afford it to deal with informal entities. So if a micro business wants to be part of an industrial symbiosis network led by a large formal company, well, that micro business must become formal, must be formalized. So it's a requirement of large companies that the smaller entities get formalized.
Right. And is that is presumably somewhere where both government intervention and perhaps even the ILO could play a role in pushing this process along?
Yes, although from our studies, it looks like companies act on their own for different reasons. They want, for social corporate responsibility, for environmental and social certifications. So they have all sorts of internal, let's say, intrinsic reasons why they want to push for formalization and do, let's say, the good thing.
Right. Okay. I mean, one of the things that struck me in reading your book was that it says that this is found more, IS, industrial symbiosis, is found more often in advanced economies than in developing economies. And at face value, that seems to be a little illogical. But is it because of this important role that is clearly being played by larger and formal companies?
Yes. It's also linked to the fact that the industrial sector is more developed and advanced in rich countries as opposed to poor countries whose economy is based more on agriculture. But then I would say in that it's not that industrial symbiosis is more found in advanced economies. It's just that we know more about it in advanced economies. It's more literature and documentation. In developing countries, the topic has not been explored as much. And that's why the edited volume that we are talking about now has some value, because it explores an area that is rather undocumented.
Right. And you looked at both, interestingly, both Africa and Latin America. Did you find any particular differences in the approaches those two groups of businesses were taking and in the outcomes?
Yes, there are differences. In Latin American countries, we considered Argentina, Colombia, and Costa Rica. In recent years, governments have adopted national policy strategies, plans to foster the circular economy, and that's where industrial symbiosis thrives or is really emerging. Whereas in Africa, there are milder policies, not focusing on the circular economy, but more on solid waste management. So recycling or industrial symbiosis is not quite there. Also in Africa, industrial symbiosis is normally supported by programs by external entities like NGOs, in particular international NGOs or the regional level. Whereas in Latin America, they can be also spontaneously created by large companies, by entrepreneurs. So probably, yes, as you were hinting earlier, in poorer economies, there are fewer large companies that can initiate industrial symbiosis networks.
So this is obviously something with quite a lot of potential to both economic and in terms of creating decent jobs and better working conditions. What do you think needs to be done to increase its use further and maximize the potential benefits?
First of all, I think we should promote a culture of recycling in general, because after all, industrial symbiosis is about recycling, and I think it's not yet quite embedded in our culture, okay, that we have to go for recycling. And from there, also legal frameworks that promote recycling. Because I'm not even talking about poor countries, I'm talking about our own countries. Sometimes we really don't know what to do with dismissed relevant goods, and we just throw them because we don't have recycling opportunities.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's also largely for governments to take actions in this respect and develop adequate legal and regulatory frameworks.
You mentioned also legal and also taxation, perhaps?
Well, taxation, incentives, entrepreneurs, when we surveyed them, entrepreneurs are largely in favor or in fact asking for incentives, fiscal and economic incentives, because as we said earlier, in some cases, industrial symbiosis or recycling requires expensive equipment, and therefore they would certainly welcome incentives in general.
Great. Sabrina, fascinating topic. Thank you so much. But unfortunately, we're out of time, so we have to leave it there for today. Maybe we'll have a chance to return to it because we talk about the circular economy quite a lot. My guest today has been Sabrina Dagobi, who is ILO senior economist and editor of a new book, Industrial Symbiosis and Productivity, The Employment Effects in Developing Countries. And my thanks to you too, our listeners, for your time and attention. Please join us again soon for another look at some of the trends affecting the world of work. Meanwhile, you can always catch up with us on social media. That includes LinkedIn, X, and Instagram. But for now, from me, Sophie Fisher, and the rest of the Future of Work podcast team, goodbye.